Okay. Well, Lord has put something on my heart this morning. I feel it's very simple, could go by very quick, so we bless our ears to hear what the Spirit is speaking. Whenever God moves in the earth, he births what he's doing through a word. The word of God comes forth, and it's not just the prophets that are to hear it. The prophets will hear and declare it. But the word is always looking for a resting place. It's looking for a certain atmosphere to land. And when it lands in that atmosphere, or that, as we know, the human heart that is open to God, the word can bear fruit in God's timing, accomplish what God wants done. I don't know that I've experienced a greater joy in life than being a part of God releasing something from his heart and bringing it forth on this earthly plane. I just rejoice and I'm glad to witness and be part of anything the Holy Spirit is doing. I don't find a lot of joy in religion, rules, regulations, or just doctrine, theologies. I mean, that can satisfy certain things, needs of our mind maybe, but really to me the joy is what the Holy Spirit brings forth, that birthing. When we birth something in ourselves, you know, out of human desire, it's a mixture, isn't it? A lot of hard work sometimes, ambition, and a lot of striving. But when God births something, all those human qualities are of no value. And ambition gets in the way of it. He's just looking for faith and a heart that says, yes, Lord. I want to look at two different births. One is of John the Baptist and one is of our Lord Jesus Christ. I think it's appropriate since next Sunday is Christmas. John the Baptist, his parents were Zechariah, who was a priest, and Elizabeth. And if you read in Luke chapter 1, Zechariah was at the temple doing his duty, religious duty. Now, what I didn't realize, I've read this many times before, is there was a lot of priests at that time in Israel. I read one account saying there might have been as many as 20,000, but I don't know if that's true or not. But in other words, Zechariah performing his religious duty, lighting incense to the Lord, was not a daily thing. This was a once-in-a-lifetime experience. He's going about this duty, and Gabriel, the angel, comes to him and speaks a word. Talks about his son. He says, you'll give birth and you'll get the people ready for God. Now, Zechariah's response was, do you expect me to believe this? Not exactly the thing you want to be saying to Gabriel the angel when he gives you a word, right? But Gabriel said, your prayer has been heard. I thought about that. What prayer was Zacharias making? I mean, if he was in prayer every day for, I want a son, I want a son, I don't think he would have responded saying, do you expect me to believe this? His response was based on unbelief and doubt. Yet the angel's saying, your prayer has been heard. When Zechariah was praying in the temple, that time as a priest was not for himself. He wouldn't be praying for a son for himself. He was praying for Israel. That was the responsibility of the priests. So we don't know, but I'm just kind of marveled that somewhere along the line it was in Zechariah's heart to have a son. And God saw that. And time passed and Zechariah and Elizabeth gave up. Why? Because they're too old to have children. Yet God still remembered that heart desire. That prayer that may have not been made for many years. God said, I'm answering your prayer. To me, it tells us we have a good God. And even when we are not faithful to the things that we once maybe were in prayer, God remembers what he put in our heart. He'll bring an answer in his timing. Angel said, every word that I've spoken to you will come true on time in God's time. Now, what happened to Zechariah was his response to the angel was not so positive, and the angel made him mute until the birth of John. And when John was born, they were trying to decide what name to give him. Now, with Zechariah, they were communicating all these months through some kind of sign language, or he'd write something down because he couldn't speak. And the angel had told Zechariah part of the word was, you will name him John. And so he communicated that to those around. His name is going to be John. They wanted to name him Zechariah. And they're going, why are you naming him John? There's nobody in your lineage named John. He said, his name will be John. What he was doing was agreeing with God's word. And after he did that, you know what happened? His mouth was open. He could speak again. I think this is really prophetic for us. Our spiritual voice is restored when our heart and mind are in agreement with God's word. It's easy to say a lot of things, pray a lot of things, and we have no problem being verbose. But the spiritual voice, our spiritual voice, that voice of authority, of being able to speak God's word, the condition of muteness is healed. We're delivered from that when we agree with God. And that's what Zechariah was doing. He goes, I don't care what everybody around here thinks. His name is going to be John because that's what God wants. So we see here the difficulty in the birthing process. John being birthed, it was in an atmosphere of doubt, of, you know, they're too old to have kids. How can this thing be? How often, when God is doing something, does it disrupt our natural flow of thinking and our human expectations? We have so many limitations in the way we think. And to say, God, I want you to birth something new, you're also saying, God, I know this is going to be challenging to my perceptions and the way that I think. The same angel, Gabriel, comes to Mary, speaks to her. The child you bring to birth will be called holy, Son of God. Great word, except she's not married yet. What's her response? I'm the Lord's, ready to serve. Let it be with me just as you say. This was, again, a very difficult circumstance. It's hard for Joseph. He had to accept something that was beyond his own thinking. Here was Mary, a virgin, not married yet, impregnated by the word of God to give birth to the Son of God. You don't think there was some gossip going on around that time about her condition? Very controversial. Again, God doing something pure but disrupting the natural way of looking at things. But her response, that heart, I mean, just we covet that heart. Okay, God, this is beyond what I can expect or think or figure out, but I'm yours. I'm here to serve you. Let my life unfold according to your word. That's our cry, too. When something new is birthed, there's two parts to it. It's important to look at the fact that not only was Jesus birthed into this world as the Son of God, but John the Baptist had to be birthed first. It's two prongs, I think, to when God brings something new. The first is the Spirit moves for repentance. The Spirit moves on people's hearts and minds and says, if we're going to see something new birth, there's got to be a change of thinking, a repentance that goes on. Why do we need to repent? It wasn't to receive Jesus as a healer. Think about it. Who wouldn't want someone walking around healing the sick? You know, it wasn't to receive the gifts that he provided, the miracle provisions. The repentance that came through John the Baptist was repent of the way you think. Someone is coming greater than me. I'm not worthy to tie a shoe. I'm baptizing you in water for a cleansing, but he's going to baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. He's going to change you from the inside out. The repentance was needed to see Jesus Christ as the Son of God who brought salvation. We don't need to repent to rejoice at God blessing our lives, but we need to repent so that we can have a revelation of who he truly is, the Son of God, and what that means. What that means to us, what it means to be forgiven, what it means to be established in a new covenant of grace. That's why the birthing process had two sides. There needed to be that spirit of repentance that came through John, and the people that responded and repented, something changed in their thinking where they were able to receive Jesus, not as just a great prophet, great teacher, but as God's personal son. And when he walked the earth, they were able to see that he was demonstrating who the Father was. Repentance brings that about for us. When God is able to soften and change the way we think and the structure of our mind, when he's able to renew our mind, then we're able to see by revelation his ways and what's behind the wonderful acts that he's doing. When people looked at Jesus, they saw what they wanted to see, didn't they? And that's why he would question the disciples, "Who do you say that I am?" Well, some say, or who do people say that I am? Some say Elijah, some say this, some say that. Who do you say that I am? And Peter had that revelation that he was the Son of God. Without that, we see what we want to see. People read the Bible, and I think throughout the churches in this country, if you go throughout the world, in the Christian religion, the Bible is considered the Word of God. But what is the Bible? What are the Scriptures all about? Are they rules, regulations? Are they just theory? Are they doctrine? Is it just a letter to people? Are they words of spirit and life that reveal who the Lord is? We're going to look at the Bible without the Holy Spirit, and we're going to develop a religion about Jesus according to what we want to see. But when God moves, it's not what we want to see. He shows us what reality is, and he reveals his Son as he is to us. And that's able to change us. We're all in a place of asking for the will of God. And I've thought about this week. I thought, what would it be like just to make that prayer? Thy will be done. I can't tell you how many times a week I pray that, because I'm at the end of myself. When you come to the end of what you can do, all you can say is, God, let it be done according to your word. How would it be if we were to pray without any human ambition? I think our prayers, especially when we first become believers, are tainted by ambition and ego. It's not that it's wrong to pray. We need to pray. But you've got to admit there's a mixture, especially when you're first starting out. How we view the ministry, there's a mixture. We want to glorify God. We also want to say, look at me, look at me. I'm important too. The human ego gets involved with it. What's it like to just say, Father, there's nothing I'm looking for myself. There's no human ambition here. Just show me what you want and let it happen. I think our hearts are at that point, aren't they? Or if they're not, they're getting there. Philippians 2 says, think of yourself the way Christ Jesus thought of himself. He had equal status with God, but he set aside those divine privileges, the privileges of his deity, to become human. God's will was for him to lay aside those privileges, those spiritual privileges of being the Son of God, that equality with God, to become human. God help us to lay aside what we need to let go of, so that we can be in the earth what he's intended us to be. You're not going to get that revelation from just going to church and attending services, just reading your Bible, times of prayer, all the disciplines we have that are good. It comes from the heart, that cry of Abba, Father, that cry that says, I don't want my ambition tainting this prayer. God, whatever you're going to do, whatever you're going to birth, let it be purely of you. Remember in Daniel, that stone cut out of the mountain, not touched by human hands? Something pure from God. In John 7:17, Jesus said, if anyone is willing to do the will of the Father, he's going to know if my teaching is from God or whether I speak on my own authority. A man who speaks on his own authority has an eye for his own reputation. If we're speaking on our own authority, it's like we're looking out for ourselves and how we come across, how we appear to people. But the one who is considering the glory of God, who sent him, is a true man. If we're willing to do the will of God, and we take that and let God, let the Holy Spirit just work that in us. Lord, I want to be willing to do your will. What we're saying is, Lord, you can remove the ambition that belongs to my ego. You can remove my human desires, wanting this or that for my own reputation, my own image. All I want is for you to be glorified. When that willingness is there, then we know there's that revelation that flows who the Father truly is. And I think in the church today, we see many wonderful acts, God doing some wonderful things. He's going to continue to do that because he's good and he loves us. But he's looking for that heart where his word can land and bear fruit 100-fold. And that heart has been given over and says one thing: I'm willing to do it, to do your will, Lord. I'm willing for you to do it your way and in your timing. I'm willing for it to be done without my human ambition tainting or getting in the way of your heart. Amen. Let's stand.